Please welcome Tom Hayden.
Thank you. I think my purpose is to bring this to an end and be brief and focused. I've been here many times over the years, and I hope you never forget how beautiful this place is and how many environmentalists over many generations have fought to keep it this way. And simply to remember that and to internalize it is to understand that we're all citizens and activists for a brief moment. And there were people before us, and there will be people after us. And what we do to make links to the past and to the future is all that's important, personally and politically. I also want to say where we are now, you're probably feeling somewhat confused, lost, and demoralized, or at least you should. You're supposed to. Because the way these things go, it's been a hard few months. And perhaps you weren't paying enough attention, you weren't active enough. I'm only guessing, I don't know. But when it's confusing out there, people relax a little bit. And then when it heats up, they get very, very intense because they haven't been steady enough. And you could feel the intensity rising as this Iraq war started to come upon us like a huge storm. And people started having more meetings than I can remember in the last 15 years. And they wanted more speakers, and they had more events. And you'd go to, I was in a living room in Brentwood where I thought it was the Russian Revolution or something was going. People were about to give me a heart attack. They were so excited. And I felt they were overexcited because they'd started late. And a war has a way, it's a terrible thing to say, but a war has a way of organizing a population for and against. Because you know it's getting closer, and so it's like running the rapids in a river. As it gets closer, you get more excited, you get more organized, there's more meetings. And my goodness, I've never seen anything like it in all my years. There were millions of people around the world mobilized, in Europe, in Latin America, in this country. I don't think there's ever been an anti-war surge like there was along about February and March. Ever in anybody's historical memory. And there was an actual belief out there that the war could be stopped. And nothing is completely determined. You never know. But I was worried about what would happen is I thought the war would go on and we wouldn't feel that we were having any effect, although certainly we were complicating its prosecution. We were making the government worry about civilian casualties. They were paying more attention to us than anybody else because it was all about generals dominating the television to tell us that everything was going fine, which should have been a tip-off that it was about us. But when it was won, when it was on and when it was won, you could feel the triumphalism on the one side from the administration and a certain sense of loss and failure on our side and people ebbing and getting lost. I'm just here to tell you that that's natural. When you come from a low energy to an extremely high energy and you get focused and then the cause of your focus disintegrates, you get this feeling again. But it's time to regroup. It's not time to moan and groan here. Let's just briefly talk about where we are in this moment. Since the Saddam statue was pulled down in a demonstration that was orchestrated by the U.S. military with American television and about 100-odd people in the middle of Baghdad, 76 more American soldiers have been killed in the theater of operations, and I don't know how many wounded, since the war ended. That's 70% of the number of American soldiers who were killed during the war. Any day now, there's going to be as many killed after the war as during the war. It's almost certain, sad to say. What does that tell us? It tells us that the perception of reality is being completely managed. we live in constant danger of brainwashing. It's all around us. When the TVs leave and the triumphalists come out and declare victory, we think maybe they're right. And the war continues. Wolfowitz this week had to mutter in Congress that there's urban combat going on. The war actually never ended, but it was staged. It was staged for the President of the United States to land on an aircraft carrier and have the image beamed out to the whole world, mission accomplished. Maybe Karl Rove's mission was accomplished, the second coming of George Bush, the second election of George Bush. But they have a long way to go. They may be going to Iran. They may suffer consequences we can't even predict. It looks to me like instead of the victory in Iraq stabilizing the Middle East, Iraq and Baghdad in particular may start to look more like the West Bank and Gaza. There could be an occupying army there for a long time on a very confused battlefield. Secondly, the war at home goes on, which is a war that preceded this imperial war, this war for empire, this war for this outpost. This is where it really gets up close and personal and intense for us, because all of this around you is at stake. I don't have the time to detail it, but I think you sense that what they want to do, in addition to flex their muscle and dominate the resources of the world as much as possible, is to roll back any restrictions at home. Restrictions on capitalist behavior, corporate behavior, restrictions on environmental power grabs, restrictions imposed by the labor movement in the 1930s, restrictions imposed on their freedom to act by women, by blacks, by Latinos in the 1960s. They are targeting at home the dismantling of everything that everybody here takes for granted that came out of great movements in the past. How do they plan to do this? Because these are popular things. People believe in health care. They believe in environmental protection. They believe in Social Security. How are they going to do it? They're going to do it by escalating the cost of empire, combining it with tax breaks for the wealthy. The first war ever fought that was accompanied by reductions in tax revenues instead of increases. And this takes no genius to understand. They're going to run out of money, and they're going to argue that they can't afford health care, Social Security, that it has to be privatized, that they can't afford the expensive restrictions on growth and development, so environmental stuff has to be rolled back. I think that Christy Whitman, weak as she was as the administrator of the EPA, is a victim of a purge by Karl Rove, because she said some things in the past in favor of the precautionary principle. That's this little silly idea, better safe than sorry, that we shouldn't inject more pesticides into the environment and then find out 20 years later. We should put the burden of proof on the corporations before we use Roundup and the rest of the Monsanto arsenal on our land and soil and the rest of it. So this is going to draw more people into a focus, I think. And I'll just leave you with that. Is it worth the loss of everything that we've gained in the last 100 years to station more and more American troops in Fort Apaches, costing tens of billions of dollars, all over the Middle East to Afghanistan? Or is it time to make a decision that we have to have a democracy, and that what we have to offer the world, if we're an empire, it should be an empire in which women are fully recognized, in which children are protected, in which rainforests are preserved and enriched, in which sweatshops are abolished, like our grandparents' sweatshops were abolished, and we have labor rights in these world trade agreements instead of just protection of the investor rights, which is what we have now. Should all of China, which we recognize as a good friend and ally, be turned into a giant maquiladora competing with Mexico and Central America, where people, because according to the New York Times, the women there have nimble fingers? Sounds like a big massage parlor. No, it's a gigantic sweatshop in which they work for 11 cents an hour? Should we go from the 1% that we gave in foreign aid to cure hunger, malnutrition, and water pollution when John Kennedy was president, 1% of our entire gross national product, to 1/10 of that, which is where we are now? Or should we go back? Do you understand? They've brainwashed people into believing that huge sums of money go into foreign aid. It's 0.13% of our entire economy that goes into foreign assistance, UN programs. We are running a foreign aid budget that's 1/3 of the average European countries. We are dragging down the United Nations effort to solve starvation, malnutrition, the rest of it. I think that the solution here is to remember that everything good that we have, that look around us, came from movements. Movements needed politicians to ratify and sometimes to speak out. But it was movements that played the dominant role. Wasn't it the environmental movement? Wasn't it the women's movement? Wasn't it the labor movement? And wasn't it the peace movement that made these things happen by creating a climate of possibilities so that opportunistic or whatever they were, politicians would come along and run with the issues? And we have to understand that we're in danger of losing all that, but we have to also understand we have an opportunity here, because these people like the Bush people, they go too far. They go too far for my money. They went too far in the 60s. They went too far for Watergate. And they're going to go too far again. A lot of people, unfortunately, are going to suffer as a result. But we have to be ready to defend the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the New Deal, civil rights, environmental protection, and women's rights as the showdown comes. And I'll just for a second tell you what they're planning to do. They don't even like the fact that they can't get their way with stacking the judiciary. See, you have an illegitimate president that wants to seed reactionaries far into the future. So they want to stop the filibuster. The filibuster is 41 votes in the Senate, not a majority. So they want to pass a new Senate rule for the first time in 50 or 100 years, passed by the vote of Dick Cheney, that will eliminate the filibuster and make it filibuster-proof so that this George Bush can put in all of his judges in the courts. That is right down the bend. Do you want all of your constitutional rights taken away by Dick Cheney? I'll leave you with that question and an image. How did this nightmare start? Some people think it started with planes, you know, planes flying into buildings. Well, that's part of it. But the planes, we have to remember this image. Florida, election 2000. 250 thugs in suits and ties banging on the door of a county registrar, screaming and shutting down the vote for Al Gore and George Bush, forcibly bullying their way into shutting it down. Those people, 250 people, were flown there on corporate jets owned by Enron and Halliburton. Flown in. Can this go on? It can't. Can it? How long can this go on? How long can this go? There's no time. We have to end our pleasantries. But I don't think this can go on. Do you? I mean, I just think this is so over the top. There's going to be a reaction. You are the reaction. Do not let your confusion confuse you. You're in confusion for a reason. And you're going to come out of confusion. There's elections ahead. There's fights ahead. Don't let these people go on stealing the country. Thank you.